heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, the ultimate program to me is when we the people talk. That to me is ultimate talk radio. And you see, voices are being shut off, people are being censored, and there's a lack of conversation. We see it everywhere. And this show today, hashtag my voice. Some pretty big topics today here. We're going to discuss Elijah Cummings. You see the death of the 68-year-old congressman from Baltimore. Then we're going to dive into Kanye West and his new found religion. Interested in then contaminated military bases. Big conversation here. Bob McCarthy, Brooks Says, Susan Price. So we're going to start off and we're going to talk about Elijah Cummings here. And we're going to throw it to Bob McCarthy. Let me tell you about Bob. He's a disabled Cold War Marine, a political GOP activist, founding member of Code of Vets, and a great friend of America Out Loud. Bob, you see what's happened now to Elijah Cummings over the last couple of days here, overnight, 68 years old, dead, surprise to the country. And now let's talk about the legacy of this man. Let me throw it to you here and tell us what's in your soul and what your thoughts are about Elijah Cummings.
Elijah, he's a very complicated person. He's been around for many, many years, and he's sat back and extolled how he was an MLK with MLK. He's done so much with it. And MLK inspired him when I know in reality, if we dig deeper and peel the onion back, he actually undercut him many, many times in the past. And he's been riding that coattail that, you know, he was for the blacks getting their rights to vote and doing this, doing that. And what he's doing is profitizing off of the last 20 or so years. I know his wife's got a nonprofit that is very suspect. There's been a lot of money funneled to it. He himself, his district, got billions of dollars direct from the federal government to take care of his district because it's, you know, we've seen what Scott Pressler, who's all over the country doing cleanups. He was there multiple days doing cleanups. Elijah came out when Trump said it's a rat infested cesspool or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And he went haywire, but literally went viral the day or two later over a whole week time. A lot of the citizens there got on, made their own videos and said, you know, he's claimed he was there every week and I'm there daily and every week in my district and I take care of my district. And people came on, the blacks, there was different minorities and poor people. And they're living in rundown buildings saying, we haven't seen him in years. I mean, this is a crock of baloney. So he's a very animated man. It wasn't pretty. He's a very dirty person in my mind, deep state in my mind. And those people are actually going to come to justice really, really soon. So,
you wonder, Bob, isn't part of the problem there, and I've seen a lot of reports already in the last day or so that they're there too long in Congress. A lot of people are calling again when they see the death of this man. Now, he'd been sick for quite some time. And in fact, yeah, there was an episode, I don't know if you know this, there was an episode, I would say not too far back, maybe about a month and a half ago, I think, roughly. And there was an episode where he had some sort of a, I don't know what you want to call it, a convulsion, a mini stroke, something on the House floor. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that got my attention. I realized at that point that the man was very, very ill. But I think they were hiding that from folks, weren't they?
Oh, for sure. And I think there's a lot of them that have certain illnesses. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi, some of the facial things she does and, you know, one day she's talking lucid, the next day it's like she just came out of the whiskey bar and it's like 12 o'clock in Washington, D.C.
Well, so, Bob, we don't have enough time in this show to talk about Nancy Pelosi's problems. I'm sorry, bud, but yeah. There's a lot of them there. Well, listen, he was referred to as a civil rights leader, but I think a lot of people question that. And you're questioning that as well, Bob, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, you ask the people in Baltimore, and like I said, there was videos produced after him and Trump had that standoff. Mm-hmm. And there was just the local people. They went to the, well, I'm going to just say the ghettos, and that's what they are. They went to the downtrodden areas in Baltimore where he claimed, you know, he takes care of his district, and these people from all walks of life, you know, you had whites, you had Asians, you had blacks, you had Latinos, all saying, we have not seen this man in years. I don't know what he's talking about. He does not come here and talk to us. He says we're his constituents. Right. Well, what's he doing for us? And literally, I mean, I looked at the blocks where these people were sitting on the porch, mm-hmm. and I couldn't believe they're living in those buildings. And there's just trash everywhere.
Yeah, well, the president took him to task on all that as well. Clearly, that, like you say, that was a real colorful back and forth that they had there going on about Baltimore. But let's face it, Bob, Baltimore is a crumbling city. It's one of these urban cities in our country that is in dire straits and in need of a lot of TLC, don't you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, there again, it was. I believe the figure was like, it was astronaut. It was billions, at least $2 billion.
Oh, the money that they squandered, you mean, that they were supposed to? That was part of the controversy that Trump threw out there, clearly. Let's go around the room here and get everyone involved here. Brooke, by golly, I definitely want to go to you first because I know you'll be hot on this one. So I think two things come to mind, Brooke. Number one, was he really the civil rights leader that they put him out to be? I mean, let's be real. And number two, what about all that squandered money that Bob talked about that the president actually threw back at him and said, hey, wait a minute. What about all this money that's wasted? Why hasn't this gone to the people of Baltimore?
Well, and also there are a bunch of other issues, too. First of all, I don't know if everybody knows this, but it was a black former NFL player who asked Trump to call Cummings out, okay? So Trump went out there. He called Cummings out.
No, I didn't know that. Who was that, Brooke?
Yes. You know? I don't remember the name, but I'm okay. Telling you.
But it was definitely a black NFL player.
Yes.
Was it Jim Brown? Was it?
No.
Maybe?
No. You have to look it up. I forget the name. That's the first thing, okay? So Trump went out, and Trump has never, ever come out and said, hey, this guy asked me to do it. I didn't just come out and like hammer at Cummings. He was asked to do that. So after all this time, he was just put his chin out there and got all kind of incoming over that, oh, you're racist, this and that and the other, when it was a black person who asked him to do that, first of all. Second of all, just like with John Lewis and just like with John McCain, these people have been riding for 50 years over something that happened a long time ago. We can give them credit for what they have. I mean, John Lewis getting beat up on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Yeah. But what are the people that vote for you, particularly in this case, the, you know, in West Baltimore? Not all of Baltimore is bad. It's West Baltimore. It's usually the minority communities, mostly black. I mean, this guy sat on the Congressional Black Caucus. All those people in the Congressional Black Caucus don't do anything for their black constituents, and yet they get 85 to 95% of the vote off the bat. They know it. All they have to do, I'm getting hot, I'm sorry, but all they have to do is claim racism, racism, racism. I'm black, you're black, the other person is white, and they, you know, they're not doing anything for you, and that's how they do it. So he, like so many other people, have been sitting there because the incumbency rate for all politicians in Washington is like 93%. I mean, they could, you know, burn a child alive on TV and they probably still get reelected. It happens.
Wow.
Look at Harris Berry, okay? So that's the thing. These people ride on the coattails of those experiences and they don't have to actually do anything. All you have to do is look the same. And that's what I pray to God is one of the things that happens in the next election and in coming elections. Just because you look like me does not mean you are representing me.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing about that. I mean, it just, you know, it, I mean, the guy just died and obviously it's, you know, people, you know, some people love him and they think whatever. And
the thing that always gets me about people, Brooke, is that when somebody dies, and this is so true, though, you know, even people in your family, people, you know, sometimes you don't get along with somebody in life and then they die. And then, and sometimes it's like a person that is not, is well-liked or has issues, and everybody says, oh, what a good guy he was.
Oh, yeah.
A great gal. You know, I hate that hypocrisy. When somebody is a real asshole here on the planet, like while they're alive, and then they die, I don't think they suddenly turn into an angel. I think if they're an asshole here, they're an asshole later. Do you know what I'm saying, Brooke?
Listen, you know, I, from personal experience, okay, my father committed suicide. He was an incredibly, incredibly difficult person. He sacrificed for his children. He was a good parent. Right. I love my father. It doesn't negate the fact that in his life, he was a very difficult person, mm-hmm. right? You can love someone and yet acknowledge the truth about
that. That's right. That's right.
But the problem with this situation and all situations like it, and this is, again, why what I hope is just smashed to smithereens and Trump is, you know, making very big inroads. The idea that you cannot criticize someone because of the amount of melanin in their skin and say that criticizing someone who's black is racist.
Makes you racist.
In itself is racist.
Or like somebody would say that about what I just said, Brooke. Say, well, and by the way, I did not call him an asshole. I was talking general about anybody, you know?
So maybe he was an asshole.
That's right.
That's the point. You're not immune from criticism because you're a woman, because you're gay, because you're black, because you're striped.
Because you're dead.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Also, the bottom line is they only show up every 2 years. And you can ask any district that. They only, no matter where, across the country, they see them every 2 years when it's re-election time. They're handing out, you know, swag bags.
What's happening is we're saying things that other people only think about, but they don't really say, Brooke, Bob, really. Let's get Susan in here. And Susan, honest, fair question here. The back and forth that Brooke and I were just doing, I mean, honest question, were we being too harsh?
No. You know, this guy, and no disrespect to anybody out there, because it has nothing to do with color, but he was missing in action. You know, and he only appeared when the cameras were on. And he was one to talk about eliminating waste of resources, fraudulent activities, and abuse of power, when in fact, he's the epitome of all those.
Susan, that's what they always do, Susan. They always talk about what they're doing. And that, of course, is the Democrat motto. You know that. That's their motto, their mantra. It's funny.
But to be honest, when I heard that he passed away, I thought, wow, did somebody put a hit on him or what? Because, you know, was he John McCain or what?
Well, who would put a hit on him? I mean, who exactly? I mean, are you saying President Trump? Well, hold on. Are you saying Susan, President Trump would have?
No, I'm being facetious.
I know, but I'm just trying to get to the point of that, because you said that off mic, too, and I'm wondering, Susan's up to no good.
Well, that's not something President Trump would do. Don't get him confused with Obama. So,
Clinton.
Hey, listen, I didn't suggest anybody did it. I'm just asking you the question. Let's be clear here.
But, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, is he involved with any things coming down from the top, all those orders? I don't know. He's gone, and that's all we know. Now we have to get a good person in that seat.
Now, Susan, here's the other thing that Bob pointed out moments ago, too, that I want to talk to you about, is that he mentioned the not-for-profit with the wife, and we'll circle back through that. But here's what gets me that people need to understand about these politicians is then you say, well, the corruption, or when Trump throws out there and goes back and forth and says, well, what about all the money we spent in Baltimore? And of course, you could say that about just about every city from sea to shining sea over here. And you say, well, what about the money? But then you all want to know, like, how do they all end up like wealthy as pigs and you know what? And how do they all end up with big tall gates in their houses and limos and fast jets and lots of sex and champagne every night of the, I mean, how do these people live in such a lifestyle on the salary they pay? It's not remotely possible, Miss Price.
Exactly. That's doing business with the lobbyists.
Yeah. It's sleeping with the
enemy. Starting a foundation.
Well, they all get the IPOs, initial public offerings of stock. They all get it first. They have the first crack at it. Someone did a piece on Pelosi, I will say again. That her and her husband bought stock. She was asked about it. She refused to answer the question. Oh, it was on the up and up. But the stock doubled in like 5 days. And then they probably sell. You know what I mean? And it's allowed for
conversation. I do know what you mean, Bob.
I did it, I'd be...
You'd be in jail. But you know, Bob, a lot of these people, too, they run around talking about, you know, third world countries, banana republics, and bad people around the world. And you know, everything you just say is so accurate.
And I mean, I would beg to say to you that they're all no better than banana republics. And they do it in the middle of daylight, and then they hide and they camouflage the problem, or they throw it on to other people when it's the problems they're creating. I mean, we got some real problems in this country. And you know, Bob, it always comes back to this. If we don't get some sort of term limits in play, if we don't start to get these cats in and out of office, which is what the framers intended when this whole experiment of America was started, I'm afraid we're going to go down a bad road here, which we've already started to go down, brother.
Well, as Susan actually taught me from reading one of her blogs, the initial Founding Fathers' rules were no lawyers were to represent the people in Congress. And guess what we have today? They're all
lawyers.
They're all lawyers.
They all smell.
Lawyers. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just crazy to think that you can't do a FOIA on them. You can do a FOIA on the executive branch, on the Department of Justice, on Trump, on any of the civil people. But nobody in Congress, you can't do a Freedom of Information Act on any of them. And I hope Tom Fitton grabs that bull by the horns. We all need to get involved. They need to have oversight. We need to know what they're doing, because it's baloney. They hide behind that curtain saying, well, it's because we're dealing with national security issues. It's a crock of baloney.
Hey, Bob, what about you talk about oversight. You just got me thinking a bit here. You know, Congress is supposed to have oversight with the executive branch, and correct? Right? That's the plan, right? That's
yes.
The idea, right. All right, but hold on. But like you just said, who's going to have oversight on Congress? Well, see,
who's watching?
Well, what about a We the People committee? I'd like to be on that committee, Bob. What do you think?
I posted that just the other day, and a couple of people said the same thing. We need to have possibly, half dozen people from each state,
right?
That I don't know how we're going to elect. There's got to be election, but there again, you got to watch for fraud. But, you know, at least you'll have each state have an oversight on all of the Democrats or Republicans, all of them, because both sides of the aisles is dirt. They're both dirty.
Oh, it's all dirty. Yeah, it's filthy, man. It's
once they get there.
Do you remember when he was like on, he was on TV crying about the illegals and the kids in cages?
I do.
And meanwhile, he had rats the size of dogs in his own district. That's the legacy of Elijah Cummings.
Well,
crying about people who don't have the right to be here and rats in his own district. Sorry.
He was part of the people with Obama. Obama built them. They took the money that was supposed to go to the wall years back, and they, oh, we'll get electronics, you know, drones, we'll build cages, and this will be fine. Obama did this. It wasn't Trump.
And, you know, it's hard to sit here when you listen to people and you say, well, maybe they're not being nice because the man is dead. Or, you know, like your mother used to say to you, you know, well, you always got to be nice because they're dead. And as you can see, I don't subscribe to that theory. If you're a good guy here, you know, in real life, then you're a good guy when you die, and we can understand that. But if you are, as I said earlier, I used the term, if you're an asshole here in life, that also makes you one in death. It doesn't change people. That's all I'm saying. I know that doesn't sound nice.
But it's exactly the truth, Malcolm. Yeah, it's exactly
I know it is.
The
it's the out loud truth. But it doesn't sound nice. I get that. I mean, I hear that, Bobby. But the point is that we're not going to be phonies here. As you just said a moment ago, Bob, this is left and right. It's called dirty politics. That's what we're talking about here, people.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Hashtag my voice will be heard. This is round 5. We have Bob McCarthy, Brooke Says, Susan Price. Another great story I want to talk to you about, folks, right now, and is on Kanye West and his newfound religion, some would say. Now, Kanye is, I mean, he definitely is a, you'd call him a world brand. I mean, everybody knows the name. They know he's married to one of the most famous people who have done nothing in their life, Kim Kardashian. Imagine if you could be famous and be wealthy and do nothing. That would be like a dream. She must be from another life of some sort. I don't know about that. I never followed her life, that Kardashian. I'm just not into the soap opera kind of talk here. Anyways, let me introduce you to Brooke Says. She probably knows more about this story than I, since she wrote the article. Brooke is an activist, a patriot, focuses on strategic communications, and she's a cultural impact specialist. She always makes you think because she looks beyond the story and she gets into the nitty-gritty, which is why I love having Brooke on. Brooke, you have an article up there which has gotten a few eyebrows to raise there. I imagine a lot of people will read it. Kanye's newfound Christian faith, the opportunity to transform culture, but is it real? Now, you looked at this story and you were kind of talking about a potential opportunity. Take us through the story and why this was so interesting.
I write about culture, obviously. I think that so many of the things that happen with legislation are as downstream from culture, and Andrew Breitbart understood that. The thing about Kanye is that really prompted me to write that is more so about the implications of on him personally and the implications downstream on culture for his supposed, I hate to qualify that, but he has a marketing knack just like Trump does. He stirs the pot before an album is coming out. So supposedly with Kanye West is that he's going to be having a gospel album. He has converted to Christianity and he will be having a gospel album come out. He doesn't do secular music anymore, supposedly. Now, this is a guy, as you mentioned, who's married to Kim Kardashian, who is famous for being the child of famous people, right? Robert Kardashian defended O.J. Simpson. She's beautiful, to be sure. She had a sex tape with a black guy, which is one of the main reasons she's famous. That's just a fact.
Now, and when you say a black guy, do you consider her white, black, tawny beige?
She's Armenian, so she's Eastern European.
Okay.
But she's by proxy, quote unquote, white. She's not black.
All right, and I was wondering why you made the emphasis of the black guy there when you said the relationship.
Well,
I didn't understand.
It's a cultural issue. She's white, he's black. She has a big ass. Okay. She has, you know. That's one of the reasons.
Hold on now. I want to touch on that. Is that a cultural issue in today's world, do you think, Brooke, or have we accepted?
We are in a world now where black women who have naturally big asses are trying to look like Kim Kardashian, who's not black, because she has fake ass. So it's a big deal. It's another show, and we can get into
it. Are people now putting stuff to pump up their asses? That's a cosmetic procedure, isn't it? Now you
yes.
put
oh my
stuff
God,
in
some
your
women-
ass?
Some woman from Miami was putting in Fix-A-Flat in people's asses.
Right, right. Now, what? Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a true story? That's a true
yes.
story?
Yeah. Yes, it was a tranny, too. It's crazy. It looks like she had a tire.
Wow. Now, what if somebody's face looks like an ass? Then what do you do there, Brooke? You don't have to answer that. Go ahead.
Listen, I could riff on this for 2 hours. That's another show. Trust me. These are just all of the little foundational nitty-gritty stuff that is part of understanding a certain aspect of culture. And as you probably know, hip hop and rap is in every commercial from butter to sugar to Burger King and everything in between. So if you want to understand what's happening in the world today, you need to understand culture, and hip hop, rap, and everything is part of it. The thing about the Kardashians, okay, she's a gorgeous woman, to be sure. Okay, she's not ugly. That's one of the reasons, and she's an amazing marketer, right? Just like Trump. Okay, so I'm reading The Art of the Deal. Trump is a marketer, she's a marketer. But the thing that's very important about her and about him and about this situation, okay, if he is in fact a Christian, okay, I don't believe, now he's very influential in culture, okay? If you look at some of his videos, he had one video where he was, one of his songs where he was riding on a motorcycle with her, topless, Okay.
Right.
Now it's no surprise to see Kim Kardashian topless, but that's what the video was about. There's another video where I have to say the name of it is, it's called I Love It. The song is called I Love It. And it says, "You're such an effing hoe. I love it." And the video is all about him banging his girl. It's gross. I mean, the whole video is nothing but raunchy, raunchy, raunchy. And that is where music is today. Cardi B is now the latest iteration after for the females. And her video, I mean, it's soft porn. You see, the stuff that's out now would have been, you know, not even acceptable on mainstream television, and yet it is. And that's because of culture. Okay, so fast forward. If he's a Christian, I don't believe that he will be able to stay with someone who is as vain, shallow, vapid as her unless she changes. And if she changes, they would have a cataclysmic effect on culture.
Wow.
You see? Yeah. Now that's assuming that this is real. And because I don't believe, there's a phrase in the Bible, is like unequally yoked, right? Mm-hmm. So if one person in the partnership, and he has recently come out and made comments that the dress that she wore last year was too sexy and it hurt his spirit to see her in that. Now, he liked that about her. He knew she had made a sex tape with her former boyfriend, and he liked that about her. He likes the fact that she's sexy, that she's half naked all the time, that she just looks like she got out of making a porn video. Now, if he doesn't like that anymore, and she refuses to change, they will. It doesn't seem to me like it will be able to be together.
Now, do you think that there's a possibility that that she, the Kardashian, could change as well as him? Because you just mentioned that. Wouldn't that, you're talking about, again, a cataclysmic, you say, event in the cultural field. But imagine if this Kardashian lady, which I know nothing about, this guy, and I know very little about him as well, quite frankly, other than what most people would know on the surface, because I don't follow these people. But imagine if they did become a couple that changed the, that would be quite something, Brooke, wouldn't it? As you said.
Right. Well, in my article, I talk about a modesty movement, because we have become so debauched and debased in this culture. It's disgusting.
Bob, what do you think with this Kanye West? I don't know if you follow him or you know much about the guy, him and the Kardashian lady there. Is this possible or is this a total...
My friend Real TT on Twitter, Matt, does some great, amazing videos. He's been on the platform with Ray Ray. He actually had done some videos with Trump videos and with Kanye. And I'm like, I was missing the parallel, and I wasn't listening to the words either because I didn't enjoy the music, and I don't watch videos. I don't watch TV really anymore. But I listened to the words. I'm like, well, he's right there. He is on the doorstep of maybe being born again. But how do you quantify that when you're with Kim Kardashian, who's showing skin? Like,
well, that's what Brooke is asking. Is it possible? Like, do you think, Bob? You're not buying it, or are you
she
buying
has
it?
To change. It's all on her. She has to be the one to change. And see, now he's going to make the next step. He's saying, I'm going to do, you know, a religious album. And that's where he wants to go. And she has to join him. If she doesn't join him, then it's a lost cause. But if they unite, oh, what a force they will be. It would be a great, great thing. And I can't believe you don't realize her father was the one that represented OJ.
Yeah, that's what she said. I really
and like then to... her stepfather just became
that's right.
Used to be on the Wheaties boxes when we were kids.
Her stepfather's Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
Oh, that's right. Bruce Jenner.
He
yeah. Who is now.
Her dresses and stuff. And yeah, he's. All the girls' dresses.
What's his name now? What's Bruce's name? I forget. It's what?
Caitlin.
Caitlin. Yeah. Caitlin. And he's the transgender or the. Not a drag queen. You call that transgender, right?
He ran out of money. He actually got the operation on, and they filmed his operation. He needed money. He's a money hound, living the high on the hog lifestyle, which he missed out on kind of back in the 70s, 80s. He didn't get the big deals that the you know the pro stars get nowadays. So when he hooked up with Kim's mom, oh yeah, he was boom. He's in with Hollywood. He's in with the big bucks. And I think he was running low on money. The mother, I can't think of her name, but she was like, "Whoa, because you're wearing my daughter's clothes." and they had this show going on. This show was very, I mean, I don't even watch that, but they had that the show on TV. So they had multiple years in, and all of a sudden he came out and said he wants to work. You know, he's kind of transgender and wears women's clothes. And they're like, "How do we spin this? All right, well, let's film the operation. We can all make out."
That's
so,
it.
Yeah, they're a crazy family. But I believe in my, you know, from what I've listened to from Matt is, you know, done some videos. I'm like, I just didn't listen to his words, and some of his words in past albums are not bad. He's not like the other rappers who he's not brutal death and you know ghetto rap that much. Yeah, he, you know, he's saying, you know, the sex this, sex that, yo ho, whatever, but he didn't go over totally as far off the end as a lot of these other rappers do. I believe he's sincere.
But you believe he's sincere, but yes, you think she's got to follow, and do you think she will?
I kind of think she will. I think she will.
Well,
she's no young buttercup no more.
If that happens, then Brooke says this will be a cataclysmic change in the cultural scene. Susan, weigh in on this, please. What do you think, Susan?
I'll be honest with you. I never used to like Kanye, but I have grown to like him. Because I've been watching him evolve, and not just through Trump, but there's just something spiritual evolved about him. But before you go forward with the person, you look and see, where did he come from? Mm-hmm. We know about the Kardashians, but I think it's interesting, you guys, that his dad was a former Black Panther and one of the first Black photojournalists of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and his mother was an English professor. So I think that's pretty cool. You can see his roots.
So you think there's a possibility then you like Kanye, and you think this could be the real thing?
I actually see him evolving, and I really do. I think, like Brooke had mentioned, mm-hmm. what a powerful force of pop culture will be across America with these people that are influenced.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
He's one of the great influencers. I truly do. And he has it in his genes, because look who his dad was and who his mother was.
Interesting. So Brooke, you know, you hit a nerve with that article, and here's your response from Bob and Susan. They're kind of saying, you know, there's something to this. And I think you see that they're feeling like this could be the real thing. Does that give you encouragement?
Yes, and also, yes, and I wasn't mentioning the part about his support for Trump. He was in Salt Lake last week. He was actually talking about the Republicans freeing the slaves. So he's not just back doing gospel, he's back stirring the hornet's nest. And then he went on Howard University, which is a Black campus, a Black university, and he was, you know, he's talking about some real stuff. And that, in this cancel culture era, it'll be very interesting to see where he plays, because he's not the kind of person that just backs down. And if you tell him not to wear that hat, he's going to wear the bigger one. You see, so the fact that he's talking about, I like Trump and I have the right to like Trump and Republicans freed the slaves, it'll be very interesting. But even that, in my opinion, it may not be as significant as the other part, because also you have to remember the Black community foundationally is in the church. So if he's bringing the Black community back to church and talking about how Republicans freed the slaves, that is next level stuff.
That's powerful. Very
That's
powerful.
Very powerful.
Yep.
So it'll be very interesting. I hope he's for real. You know, I hope that, because I think that whole family is just a cesspool of just the influence they have over the culture and the vanity. Because, and I wrote in the article, is they make gods of themselves. You cannot have a higher being if you are the higher being.
Yeah, that's a great parallel. Yeah.
What, you know? One thing about Brooks says is she never says what she means. So. I mean, there's not much phony about Brooke, I have to tell you. I love it. I love it.
Real deal.
Everybody, you are the real deal here. You're listening, friends, to Bob McCarthy, Brooke Says, Susan Price. Interesting topics here today, I got to tell you, on hashtag my voice. This is great. This is we the people. This is the kind of conversation in your show with the water cooler that most people think but are afraid to say. But guess what? We're not afraid to say it here, and that makes all the difference. And, you know, we can still be, as I always say to you, we can still be ladies and gentlemen and have real conversation. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what I think is lost on America right now. In fact, I think, as I always say to you, that's the beauty of this country, is our differences. I wish people would embrace that more, but it seems to be they've gotten into these pockets of divisiveness, and they just want to fight like hell. And, of course, that accomplishes nothing at the end of the day here. Got another interesting topic coming up in just a moment here, something that I think you'll want to know a little bit about here. The president has just moved on this recently. There's some news on this, in fact. We're talking about the contaminated military bases. Hashtag my voice. Let's all be heard, people.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Susan, let's get on to the story that you wrote about some time ago that the president has just talked about as well, on these contaminated military bases. Let me tell folks first that Susan Price is an investigative researcher. She is, as you all know out there, a great patriot. I mean, she defines the word patriot. She's a veteran advocate, Gold Star mother, and just a beautiful human being, and one we're so terrific and pleased to have here on this network, people. Susan, contaminated military bases, what's burning in your soul today?
Well, let me tell you, when I first found out about this story, and I lived on military bases myself, my dad was a Marine, and I raised a Marine, and I cried when I heard about the hundreds and thousands of Marines and other military families that were suffering due to it was called the secret war, because, you know, there were all these toxins and diseases brewing, and people were drinking the water, bathing in the water, and creating their dinners out of the water with these groundwater from these bases. And one of the most horrendous is the Camp Lejeune out of North Carolina. So I had to write about it, and I always send my controversial articles. I tweet them out to the president. Not that he read mine and decided to get a task force involved, but I was really surprised, because a couple of months ago, that's just what happened. The president put together a task force to start cleaning up the contaminated military bases.
Yeah. Now let me break in here a minute and say this, Susan. So everything you just said, and I'm with you. You put the tweet out there, and then you say, "Well, I'm not saying the president." Now, I think we should redo that piece, so listeners hear what you said, and then as I say this, and they hear me say, "Susan, don't you think the president ended up doing this because of the article you wrote on the platform?"
It and could you, be a
and this is where you say, hell yeah, Malcolm. Yeah, he absolutely read. He reads all my articles, you fool.
I think he did. No one can convince me that he didn't read it and act on it. I believe he did. Susan's a force.
Well, thank you, guys. But, you know, anything to do with our veterans and our active military, I know our president, Donald Trump, loves our military, and he wants to make sure that they're taken care of. But this has been a silent war for over 50 years, Malcolm. And the Department of Defense and the DOD have really contaminated not only the bases, but the communities right outside of these bases. There's people with all kinds of cancers and thyroid diseases, and even their children have problems.
So, Susan, why has this story go so unreported for so long in a big way? I mean, I've never heard this story in the big media cycles, the networks, or anything. Why is that?
Well, you know what, Malcolm? And why is only less than 1% of our military serving for the 99% of America? People are so into their own little lives and bubbles, they really don't care. And that's sad. It really is. They don't pay attention. They don't support and promote. But now with this cleanup, I think that you're going to see more of it. There's just a lot of things that are starting to change and evolve. And not only that, but the media. The media has never put the truth out there. As I said, this is a secret silent war that started 60 years ago. A lot of things started 60 years ago, creeping behind the scenes. I mean, is this part of Agenda 21? You have to ask yourself that question.
Yeah. Bob, talk to me about your knowledge of this problem with the contaminated military bases and what you know about it.
Well, I'll go back to 109 years ago in 1908.
When you were born, Bob?
No. Woodrow Wilson hid the Constitution in the deep state. England, Germany, and the cabal have been ruling us since. But Edwards Air Force Base here in New England, it's down on Cape Cod. Edwards, they had a small range, bomb range. They drop bombs. They do this. The military. Monsanto. Monsanto was huge. You all remember Monsanto. They were huge conglomerate.
Yeah.
They are like the biggest contaminant in the world, definitely in America, yet they walk away.
They get a pass.
They get a fine. They get a slap on the wrist.
That's right.
And they've, and like where I was stationed as a Marine in 29 Palms, the community wouldn't even have existed. In 1950, the Army abandoned 29 Palms, said it was uninhabitable by humans. And in 1953, the Marines moved in and said, we're home. And if there was no base there would be no 29 Palms town. So that anything in all the stuff that they dumped into the earth and it gets into the groundwater, the people and in that town, 29 Palms, it's all military families. They're the ones ingesting the toxins. And that's the sad part. And there we go again. It's like Agent Orange. It's like all these other things. The government is covering up for their mistakes. They don't want to pay off. They make excuses. They pass it down the road. The MSM does not cover it at all, and it's sad.
Let me circle back, Susan. I want to ask you, what is the president going to do regarding the contaminated military bases?
Well, he has a task force set up, and they're going and they're using organic materials to clean it up. So just started a couple of months ago.
And these so-called burn pits, they're called burn pits, is that correct?
Yes, and remember I did an article on that about a month or so ago as well. And those are all over the world, the bases that the burn pits are on. But they're a contributing factor as well.
Yeah, but that's part of this problem, I'm saying. And what they're doing is they're throwing all the equipment in batteries and tires and toxic stuff, right? Correct?
Correct.
Exactly. And then they do a burn, and then but the point of this, I want everybody to understand, but then what's happening is, I mean, like hundreds and hundreds, or probably more than that.
Well,
you're saying, in fact, in one of your articles, you said about 60,000 people, Susan. We're talking a lot of people have been impacted by this. So what's happening is all that gets into the air, right? And illness, respiratory problems, things of that nature, correct?
Right, and birth defects, too.
The ground and the air, because they don't care, Malcolm. They don't even know what they're going to end up with out of the burn pit. They have a little science, but they don't care. They just want to get rid of it. And you know, if you don't see it, well, let's burn it. No one will see it. We're not dumping it in the ground. It's a crazy game they're playing.
At some point, you've got to figure out, if you're throwing, you know, these kinds of products to burn, whether it's batteries and tires and all kinds of chemical type things, and you're setting it on fire, like you say, Bob, the idea they set it on fire, they think it's going to dissipate, or somehow they want to get rid of it. They do that with a lot of stuff, actually. So these burn pits are very, very hazardous. But the fact that these military leaders are being strucken with these diseases and, like you say, life-altering problems, Susan, and birth defects and things of that nature. And I was reading up on some of this earlier, and some of the consequences of this are severe. I just wonder why nobody has acted on this prior to now, Susan.
And it's really sad. It's sad. And that's why we need shows like yours, and we need people. We are the new news. We are. The regular media, as we have known, as America has known, is dead. And it's people like us that are patriots and we care. It's every issue out there pertaining to our lifestyle and different cultures, we're the people that are reporting it.
Yeah. Well, we the people definitely have to take it back. They have to take the power back. The power has been left with these power brokers across the entire media spectrum, and it's become a massive problem here. And you're right. A lot of the stuff is totally misreported, and it's badly reported, or it's not reported on at all. Basically, Brooke, let me get you in on this conversation. And speaking about the media impact of this, and as a cultural impact specialist and analyst yourself, I mean, it seems to me like a lot of this stuff within the media, confines of the media, I mean, I think Americans need to understand that nobody comes at it like Susan was just saying a moment ago, from the standpoint of, we the people, from an honorable faction of this thing, to say, okay, something's wrong here. Something smells. I think it's safe to say that the media almost always, with all these stories, there's an agenda attached to it.
One is Susan is right about the military-industrial complex. Two is that the military, DOD, is also like, it's deep state, but it's also the swamp, right? Just like with every other industry, the people at the top do well, and the people at the bottom get hell. So the $870 billion or $780 billion that was put in DOD budget, it's not going to the military. It's going to the tank manufacturers, the air manufacturers, the bullet manufacturers, the weapons manufacturers. And the people at the bottom, unless they're contractors, are just getting the scraps.
Congress gets kickbacks, and
Congress gets kickbacks. And here's the thing. Here's the other thing that's funny is that I don't know if anybody remembers this. Supposedly the left is against war. Let me tell you, that is such bull. They only like war. They like war when the Democrats do it. If the Democrat is president, they like war, or they're fine with war. But if the Republicans are in power, they're supposedly against it. But if you remember the bombing of Syria, and this was actually under Trump, which was surprising, Brian Williams almost needed a cigarette on air as he talked about the beauty of the bombs that flew over Syria. You can use the issue of China and the NBA as a perfect example of how all of these multinational corporations are always in bed with someone, and they do not have the best interests of the American people in their hearts at all. So we're lucky that any news gets out at all.
Hey, you go back to Vietnam, Kennedy saw the horrors of war. PT-109, saved crew members. He didn't want war. He was done with it. You know, he saw the French got their asses handed to him, and LBJ was like big armament industry person. Guess who was in charge after Kennedy was gone. That's all I'm going to add.
And Trump is not, Trump sees it that the deep state is bigger than, it encompasses all of these institutions. And sad to say, I'm actually surprised that the media, the mainstream media anyways, hasn't come out about these military bases, because A, it would be a way to hammer Republicans, because supposedly, you know, the Republicans are all neocon warriors, even though a lot of the left is. Hillary was as much of a warmongering neocon as John McCain, and they're two different parties, right? But it would also be a way to hammer Trump. But they also get kickbacks. The media is in bed with the military industrial complex and the contractors as well. So nobody bites the hand to feed.
Yeah, it's known. If you cause a civil war anywhere in the world, if you're right there to get the contracts,
y'all gonna
make the money, and that's what George Soros has done for years.
Yeah,
and that's why Putin took Crimea, because our Democrats and Soros were infringing on his industry there, and he finally said, "Oh, because they're involved in petroleum, natural gas, over there, Ukraine. This is the whole Ukraine thing that's ready to blow too." These Green Deal idiots are so wanting to get us out of planes and cars. Why are they investing in on boards of all these natural gas and gas companies in Ukraine and Russia?
Because they want to bring down America.
It seems like they're all in the Ukraine business.
They care about that. They just care about bringing down America.
Yes.
Well, they're all in the Ukraine business. I mean, it seems like if you're not sleeping with somebody in Ukraine, you're missing the boat here somehow.
Mitt Romney, too. Romney,
yes.
Too.
Yeah, his people as well. Yeah, well, he's another
both
story.
It's big both time.
It's always both aisles. It's never just one side. We all know that. Everybody on the call here knows that. We just know one side tends to get more corrupt from time to time, but they're all very bad. You know, the way you described it, Brooke, a moment ago here, it sounds like an American orgy, the way they're all sleeping together, huh?
Yeah, it is an orgy. And I just wanted to mention this fact, too, because this is important. One of the chemical companies that introduced these products during the 40s, that affected our bases. Guess what? One of the big names was DuPont. So, I mean, corporations are in bed with these military industrial complex, and they're one of the 1% out there, you know. So,
DuPont's still out there. They're still there.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You know what's funny about or sad about all of this, gang, as we listen here, Susan, is this. You know, you listen to this conversation we're having right now and how corrupt it all is and how bad, you know, we've kind of meandered here now to Corruption Boulevard here. We're on Corruption Boulevard, you know, and across, and all the crossroads are also equally corrupted. But as you think about it, you know what comes to my mind, and I'm thinking, so part of my mind is this, well, how do we fix some of this? Or like, okay, so like, then it's like, well, and Brooke, as you were just talking a moment ago, it's so bad and so far gone, well, it's really not fixable, Malcolm. Oh, okay. All right, cool. And then you ask yourself, how do we get here? And why is it this bad? The corruption absolutely everywhere. And so when I say to you this, and I say, when we talk about corruption at the level of what we're talking about, and then the next thing someone will say, oh, but America is like the best ever. Like, you know, like this is the better of all the evils. Like they say that our political system is the best ever, or our whatever is the best ever. I always hear that back. And then now when I'm listening to you all in my ear, I'm listening and I'm saying to myself, is this really the best ever? And what would you say to that? Bob, what would you say to that?
I say, you know, when our forefathers wrote the Constitution and it never got fulfilled, we were on the path to be the best ever. But after 1908, Wilson, and the things that have progressed since, we could be. Trump is the savior. Trump was brought to us for a reason. Trump is five steps ahead of them.
Yeah,
and we have them in our target. Let me tell you, I have it on good word that some magnificent things are going to happen real soon.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, I think
that's part of the cleansing out that needs to happen. Susan, give you the last word on that, and then we'll go to Brooke. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've asked myself that question, Malcolm, and it always comes back the same. The like I said before, 1% of America serves for 99%. We are like the angels, the warriors protecting. But then you have it's a spiritual war against the other 1% of the deep state entrenched subhumans that we're fighting. So I just think that we're going to win. We know what's coming. Trump, thank God, was sent here to help us. He is our hero. And I just believe, and I do all I can do as a patriot to ensure it, because I have grandchildren, and I'll be damned if anybody's going to get to them. So
exactly.
So, Brooke, final word to you now. And when we let's close up here and ask this here. When we say that again, you know, the point I put out there, they always hear America is the, you know. So where do we fall in all that? Why have we wandered so badly off the path here?
Well, the answer to the first question is yes, it's still the greatest country on earth because it's a constitutional form of Republican government. So the principles are always perfect. It's the people that are fallen. The real problem is this. Complacency is the enemy of liberty. We haven't had to fight a war on our soil physically, and we've abdicated the culture war, and that's why we're in the situation that we're in. The conservative Republican patriots have been working and busy and raising their families and trying to put food on their table. The subversives have infiltrated every institution from academia to government to media. They have torn into the foundation like termites. I don't know whether it can be saved at this point, but certainly I do believe that Trump is a biblical person at a biblical time, and he's the only person that could possibly help us do it. But we the people will certainly have to stand up, and now is the time for everybody to get involved and do it.
Well, that is well said. Well said there. Brooke says, Bob McCarthy, Susan Price, hashtag my voice will be heard. And I like that ending, the roundup of how we really feel about it and the future of it. I think you get a sense that we the people are optimistic. We have to be optimistic people. What do we have if we're not optimistic? But on the other path, the corruption is so bad, so far, so wide, so far gone, that it's going to take this movement. And then you hear Bob and Susan circle around and say, well, you know, this Trump guy, he's interesting. Interesting man for interesting times. And of course, you can argue that all day long, but he is an interesting man for sure. Now, is he here for the right reason? I think a lot of you might say yes, some of you may say no. But then you look at the path of where the country is and you see there's some serious times ahead. These are serious times for serious people, right? And we all need to step up just a little bit more, people. And friends, your part of the bargain is this. It's time to get involved and get loud.